Hello, and welcome to What Else You Do. I'm your host, Masao. I'm an indie producer at Studio Cut to Bits in Montreal. And today, our guest is Jill Murray. Please introduce yourself.
Hello. I'm Jill Murray, and I've been a narrative designer for about 10 years, working in AAA and indie, based in Montreal. And recently, during the pandemic, I became certified as a personal trainer.
So you're supposed to wait until I say, what else do you do?
Okay. I can do it again.
We'll pretend that it didn't happen. So that's what you do professionally, but what else do you do? That's what you do in the games industry, but what else do you do?
During the pandemic, I've become certified as a personal trainer, and I've started training clients part-time alongside my narrative design work.
Well, how did you get into that? I know you were pretty hardcore into fitness even before that. I remember running into you at the gameplay space, and I was impressed about how fit you looked.
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but the first time we met, it was actually when we were both working on Your Shape Fitness Evolved 2012 at Ubisoft, which was a gig I had managed to talk my way into on the basis of my dance writing. So I wouldn't say...
I remember that. Yeah. I think you told me that you wrote a YA novel about dancing, right?
I wrote two YA novels about breakdancing teenagers. These were published by Doubleday Canada, which was Random House, which I guess has now become Random Penguins, or I don't know, they merged. But they were published back in 2008 and 2010, so just before I joined the games industry. I wouldn't necessarily call myself as having always been hardcore into fitness. Like, I was the kid that was always picked last in gym class, like from pre-kindergarten through to like even like phys ed and CEGEP. So I always thought of myself as being like not very athletically inclined. I come from a fairly athletic family. Like, my mother was a provincial gym champion and a ballerina. And as kids, my brother was like the star athlete at every sport that he played. So in comparison, I just felt kind of schlumpy and not very good. But privately, so I would be like thinking I'm bad at sports and not very athletic. But then like all through my teens, just privately waking up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to rollerblade 10K before cars could hit the road. So I kind of lived in these parallel universes of being very active, but not thinking it had value, or almost feeling like I was a pretender to sport. And I think that comes a lot from the way we have sent messages about physical activity traditionally. Mm-hmm. Like, it's often like, are you good at it or are you bad at it? Are you scoring a lot of goals or not? Are you placing okay in competitions? It's been a lot about ranking. Or then for adults, a lot about achieving a certain look to your body, as opposed to putting emphasis on what do you do every day. So in terms of what I do every day, just by maintaining my natural level of fitness over a period of 20 years, I slowly saw myself become like the least athletic person to one of the more active people I know, not by really doing anything different. Like, I just kept doing things I was interested in. So that became dance. So I tried a lot of different kinds of dances. I was not good at them. There was a watershed moment where I told myself, like, this is a thing that you can do and you don't have to be good at it. You could do it forever and suck every day and you still have the right to practice it and you still have the right to enjoy it and to learn from it and to love and identify with the people that you meet in these dance spaces. And that was that gave me a lot of freedom, I think, in life in general, because it made me realize that there's kind of like a basic human right to enjoy movement, however you are able to do so and in whatever way appeals to you. And it's not up to anybody else to tell you that you're doing it right or wrong, or that you shouldn't participate in one thing or another based on your results. Because, you know, like in games, like all over my creative life, it's like you have to be good at it. And as a woman in games, like you have to be really good at it just to maintain your space at the table year over year. So,
and there's a lot of competition as well. Like you have to, you know, like, oh, you have to be attached to like this big brand or that big brand, or you have to work for, I feel like there's this like, somehow people value like, oh, you worked on this big game instead of like, you know.
They really do. And I've seen this because I've worked on big games like in the Assassin's Creed franchise or Shadow of the Tomb Raider. And I've also worked on really wonderful and stable and well-paying indie projects. And I've noticed how people care who I am when I'm working on AAA. And I just like vanish into the drapery, or like that Simpsons gif where Homer just like backs into a hedge. I like back into a hedge if I do enough indie for long enough. And then if I'm doing something higher profile, suddenly everybody like wants to talk to me and is interested in what I'm doing. And it's exactly the same job. Sometimes I'm able to do better work or more interesting work. Certainly work that like helps more of the team on indie, use more of my skills.
Oh, for sure. Like, really, you have way more creative freedom in a indie project than you would on a like a giant AAA project with like editorial teams and creative directors and et cetera.
Yeah, or I think like in a lot of ways more responsibility, both in terms of like how much of the game is resting on your work, and in terms of how many different skills you need to use. Like I would say in AAA, what you use ideally is the primary skill that you are hired for and diplomacy. If you find yourself in a position where you need to also do a little producing, like help a little with diversity, check up on what level is designed. If you're in a position where you kind of notice things falling through cracks and you want to help pick them up, that can actually land you in some real hot water in AAA, where people might feel territorial rather than helped. Or in some cases, like I had one project where they're like, oh my God, like you saved us. We were definitely going to fail and you did all this stuff and you kept it all on track. And they're like, but we need to like downvote you a little on your performance evaluation because we didn't always feel like we knew what you were doing. And that made us feel, so we need to know more about what you're doing. Then the next producer you talk to is like, stop telling me so much what you're doing. It's annoying. but that's
yeah, I've had similar experience as well. I was told that I was getting too involved in tech, even though basically there was a void and I filled it because it was a crisis situation and we were understaffed and, you know, basically we were going to drown. So I was like, oh, well, you know, if I don't do it, nobody's going to do it. And I did it. And then that year in my evaluation, they're like, well, good job, but that's really not your job.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So you're telling me that I helped the project and that I'm being penalized in my performance because I went out of bounds.
Yeah. So in a perfect world,
I'm much happier in indie for that reason.
Yeah. So in a perfect world, if you were doing your AAA job perfectly, you would do your own job and then you would do diplomacy that no one else would notice that you were also helping get them get their jobs done. It would all be very secret. Whereas in indie, it's kind of like if you see something that needs doing, you can talk to one person and be like, do you need help with this? Is anyone looking at this? Do you want me to put together a quick presentation or do some research or even just take on a whole task? It's like, yeah, go do it.
Yeah.
Probably suits my personality much better.
Oh, me too. Like since I've gone indie, I've been a research assistant for the art director. I do a bunch of testing. You know, I talk to the programmer and obviously I don't design any of the systems, but I help them talk it through. Mm-hmm. I'm essentially the rubber duck.
Yeah.
If you've heard that expression.
I
help them kind of, you know, refine their ideas and stuff like that, which I never would have done in AAA.
Yeah, for shame. And I think maybe one of the reasons that people are more interested in the AAA than the indie is that a lot of the discussion that happens in the industry is around people wanting to break into the industry and how do they do that. And that tends to be focused on a job. So if you're like, well, I do these 9 things and I do it possibly in a less, like I'm running my own company and I'm on contract. So I don't have like the cushy job with a reliable paycheck. I have to pay for my own insurance, all this other stuff. This is immediately less appealing to someone entering the industry, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely less flashy. Well, it's less tangible too.
And yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess it's like anything else, right? Like if you talk to people about movies, like, you know, majority of people are going to talk about the, you know, Marvel cinematic universe type stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, if you talk about books, the few of us who still read books,
yeah, it's going to be the
bestsellers. And...
Oh, really? I guess it depends because I was.
I mean, if you look at the I'm not talking about like a person to person, but if you look at like the like, for example, if you're going to look at like social media and like trending topics, it's going to be around, you know, whatever, like.
My timelines are all messed up by having so many Canadian writers and especially writers for children and young adults. Sure. So it's like I'm not saying that in a bubble as far as books
concerned. Overall trends. Then
yeah.
Okay. So let's go to the next question. So what do you think you get out of fitness and being a personal trainer that you don't get out of game development?
As a personal trainer, so not talking about my own fitness necessarily, but just the job of trainer, one of the reasons I wanted to give this a try is that I recognized that I need to get out from behind my desk more often. I have various kinds of chronic pain that are definitely made worse by a lot of sitting and made better by moving around. The other thing with game development is that, or with narrative design in particular, is that so much of it relies on you sitting down at your desk and staring into the void and thinking up not only ideas for the game, but like structuring, what is it I need to do today? And one of my types of chronic pain is I get migraines, and that's incredibly difficult to do that kind of work while you have a migraine for 3 days. So fitness allows me to get out from behind my desk. It gives me like a task list that I can just do even if I'm in pain. But then most importantly, it's really the time and the relationships with the clients that really feel great. So I do most of my training on Fridays. So for example, Friday, I'll get up, I'll start training people at 9 in like 50-minute to an hour blocks. And each client has their own goals and needs and had their own experiences through the week that I need to be attuned to and helping them with. And just that single-minded focus on one person and their needs and then the communication that happens between us. It feels so good that I just end every week on such a high note. And as big a privilege as it is to be able to do something goofy, like put stories in video games for a living, like it doesn't come close to feeling as good as connecting to people one-on-one and understanding exactly how you're helping them and also having the experience of like working through those moments when maybe they're not motivated or not sold on what they're doing and you have to like help them figure out, or you have to adapt your own communication style to provide what the client needs. Like it just creates such a satisfying chain of emotional events. I just really love that. The other thing I think this is kind of funny. Like my fitness clients hire me to help them figure out what their goals are. And then they decide how they're going to change and what work they're going to do in order to meet those goals. Whereas with narrative clients, oftentimes It's much more like they hire me to help them figure out what their goals are and then have an expectation that I will meet their goals, even if they decide they don't want to change at all. So it's like very like back up against the wall, like having to be very resourceful from where you are. And then that especially is hard to do with a 3-day headache.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, let's flip that question around. How do you think being a personal trainer affects you as a game developer in terms of impacting your creative output or your process?
Yeah. So when you're training to be a personal trainer, a lot, or even most, I think if you're doing it right, of your training is on the actual coaching side, like how to communicate with people, how to motivate them, how to make them feel supported and cared for, how to set boundaries, and all of these things. I found myself kind of automatically applying them to a lot of other situations in life. And it definitely helps with game development. Because like I said before, like diplomacy is such a big part of the job. And it's kind of a way of framing an intensity of emotional labor as a skill instead of as like, here's this thing I have to do to be able to get to my real work. And it means that I'm more inclined now to want to spend more and more of my time as a narrative designer just talking to people, which to me says I might be maybe at this point in my career better suited to moving into more advisory or editorial positions, because I'm less and less interested in, like, it's not that I don't like to create things, but I kind of like don't care as much about whether my personal ideas see the light of day. And what's really interesting to me right now is just figuring out how to help people do the work themselves that they want to get done.
For sure. No, yeah. I can definitely relate. I'm 2 weeks away from 15 years into the industry. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely a part of me that can feel like how consulting is becoming increasingly more interesting to me. Yeah. Consulting and advising is more interesting to me than actual game production.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still like making games and I still like being a producer, and I don't think I'm gonna stop doing that anytime soon, but like I can see, I guess that's kind of gonna be my semi-retirement, I'm assuming, in my industry.
Well, let's just assume, like, that, you know, that like we don't, our generation does not get to retire per se.
Yeah.
But maybe we get to move into like more comfortable forms of work at some point
and help people make their dreams come true rather than just drive our own.
Yeah. I've always been a weirdo in the industry because I'm not really part of any fandom myself. Like, I've met people who are like, my goal is just to make a game in the Marvel universe, or people just will like be delighted to the point of expiring because they get to work on Star Wars. And I've never been in any of these fandoms myself. So every game I've worked on has been about like, get in there, find out what people love about it, like use what you know to deliver them something they're going to love and that's going to surprise them, and use the fact that you're not in the fandom that you can see extra opportunities. Mm-hmm. So it's always been about just like, it's never been about, here's what I've always wanted to create in this universe. It's always been about adapting myself and then using my skills to deliver something to the fans, which is like, that's a very, if you have that skill, you will probably never go hungry.
Well, it's really important, you know, like
time,
I feel like it's, yeah, we need more people like that, I think, in the industry. That
I think it means then that transitioning though from that type of creation to consulting is a bit of a no-brainer, because it does get tiring after a while. And I have started to wonder, like, okay, but it's been so long since I worked on something that was just my idea. Like, what are my ideas? What do I care about now? And I think maybe taking a break from executing other people's ideas over and over and over would allow me access to that part of myself again that right now is just constantly occupied. I mean, it's like having a lot of young children. you
well,
have,
I mean,
another
I'm
part
a,
of yourself, yeah, but like you need to tend to them first, and that, you know, people with young children will tend to kind of like be less available for a few years until the kids get a bit older and more independent. And I think it's that way with video games too.
Well, I mean, as a producer, like, it's never really about my vision.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have thought about that. You know, what game would I make if I want if I was making a game rather than managing a project.
Yeah.
But
narrative too, you get into these really sticky diplomatic things where you need to have enough vision to pitch ideas, but not so much vision that it terrifies the creative director. It's a tightrope. So Finn is really, it just lets me just concentrate on them and not feel like I have to manage my own creative stake. Mm-hmm. That's very relaxing.
Well, let's go to the last question, which is, what is something you'd like people to know about fitness?
I would love people to know that they can relax and just move. And that if they wanted to start working on one thing about their fitness today, it's not trying harder or eliminating something they're eating. It's breathing. Like, you can stop what you're doing wherever you are right now and put your hands on your stomach and just breathe so that you can feel your hands moving out and in because you're breathing into your stomach. And just that will bring you calm because it tells your nervous system everything's cool and it gives your brain a little more oxygen. And just that is like your first step on the path to doing fitness well. The biggest thing I've noticed that's common to almost all of my clients is they are just breathing up into your chest, which if you try just breathing into your chest, you might notice right away that it actually makes you feel stressed out and like you're running out of air. And a lot of us in game development, when we get stressed, we do start breathing that way. And it means we have this really cool opportunity to feel less stressed just by taking 30 seconds to breathe into your stomach. And I think if you start practicing this, you can start to feel a better connection to your body and a little bit more control over your day. And from then, you know, the world is yours.
Well, Jill, thank you very much. That was really nice. Like, this was really positive. And yeah, like, I feel really good. Thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for talking to me. It was really nice.
Well, have a lovely day.
You too.
Thank you for listening. And please remember to rate and subscribe on your preferred podcast app. Thank you to Dave Wallace for providing the music. And thank you to Therese Lance for providing the logo. Bye.